You have your Bibles this morning, Luke chapter 6. And we are heading off in a few days to Toronto to see our grandson. And so we're very excited about that. And of course, we're also going to be participating in, what's it called? An engagement party. Yeah, for my other son who has gotten engaged, as I mentioned to you. So a couple of things happening, and not looking forward to going to Toronto, but I'm so happy that my son lives about 40 kilometers from Toronto, so he's on the outskirts, and for that, I give God praise. Amen. Praise the Lord. And my mom is doing very well. Not that she wouldn't be, but anyway. Luke chapter 6. I want to share for a few moments this morning on the topic, is there a crack in your spiritual foundation? Is there a crack in your spiritual foundation? How many here have ever participated in building a house? Can I see your hand? Okay. A lot of people here have participated. I want to see those hands again. How many have participated in building a house? Wow. That's amazing. How many know the foundation has to be set properly? Is that correct? Yeah, that's very important, the foundation. How many have ever bought a house, and after you bought it, you noticed a crack in the foundation? Anyone would be willing to lift their hand for that? Okay. They're all cracked. You know, there are certain cracks that are, you know, they can be fixed, right? Now, I don't know how to fix them myself personally, but I know that they can be fixed. There are horizontal cracks, and then there are vertical cracks. They say the vertical cracks are the most serious, and they can really cause a damage to your foundation, compromise it in many ways. If they're not fixed from the beginning, when you see them, would that be correct? Hey, lift your hand if that would be correct. Okay. This is not Wheel of Fortune or anything, but I'm just asking. So there are certain cracks that can appear in the foundation that can cause serious damage to the structure, compromise it. And I want to say that the same thing can happen in the spiritual realm. There can be certain cracks that can begin to form in our spiritual foundation that can cause problems up the road if they're not addressed and fixed. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. So if you have your Bibles, Luke chapter 6, verse 46. Jesus said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you what he is like. He is like a man building a house," again, building a house, "who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock." Who is the rock? The rock is Jesus. "And when a flood arose," how many know there are going to be problems in life? How many know that's true? You are going to face challenges. difficulties, problems, maybe even a crisis in your life. The Bible says, when a flood arose and the stream broke against the house, it could not shake it because it had been built well. We want our spiritual lives built well upon the foundation that is Jesus Christ, our Lord. Can somebody say amen this morning? That's right. But the one who hears and does not do them. How many know you can come to church every Sunday and hear the word and hear the word and hear the word, but if we don't respond to it, if we do nothing about what it says, is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. And when the stream broke against it, immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. How many know it takes time for those cracks to develop? They start off small, but they will eventually increase. It may not happen when you're a teenager or in your 20s or in your 30s or maybe even in your 40s, but maybe in your 50s, things start happening. Crisis begins to take place. And we become unprepared spiritually for what comes upon us. How many know we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow? You could read the weather forecast. I remember one time when I was living in Moncton, they said 1 inch of snow. That's all. Yeah, but that's all they said. 1 inch of snow, that's all they said. My brother can relate to this, and my mother. And when I woke up the next morning, I didn't see a road in front of our house. It was like 2 feet of snow. And I thought to myself, we're not going to be able to get around today. That's when we lived in Salisbury, New Brunswick, just outside of Moncton. And I remember I had my friend with me, Fred. Remember Fred Wilson, the singer? And I looked outside, and it's like everything was level. There was no road, no sidewalks. It was just snow, 1 inch, they predicted. No one knows the future except God. Can somebody shout amen this morning? Nobody. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. So we need to be spiritually prepared today. Father, I just pray this morning that the Holy Spirit will speak to our hearts. Father, I pray this morning, can somebody pray with me today? Lord, that you will speak to us. Lord, I pray that my voice by itself will not be heard, but your voice will be heard. Lord, we need to hear from you this morning. So, Father, I pray that there will be a way made in the Spirit for your message to come forth today. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Jesus said in verse 46, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you?" By allowing even slight compromise to enter into our spiritual life, we allow cracks to form in our foundation, our spiritual foundation. And I want to look at three cracks that could cause destruction to your spiritual life. Number one, the crack of bitterness. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15. Bitterness. See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, and that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble. Bitterness always causes trouble. It does. And notice what the last part of the verse says, and by it many become defiled. Bitterness is a root. It begins with unforgiveness, but it goes deeper into the heart of men and women. Bitterness. The Bible talks a lot about bitterness, but let me define bitterness. Bitterness is anger. Has anyone here ever saw someone get angry? Can I see your hand? Okay, now just point to them. How many know that we all get angry? Right? I remember an evangelist saying, they never had a fight with their wife. That's what he said on national television. I have never had a fight with my wife. And you know what I was saying? Liar. 4, 5, or 6 months later, he was divorced. I won't say who it was, but they're back together again, by the way. We all get angry. But then there's an anger that's connected to bitterness. It's different. A bitter anger, rooted deep within us. It is associated with disappointment, being treated unfairly, resentment. A bitter person desires to make someone else suffer, and so they lash out. Right? They lash out. A bitter person spews their inner hurt and anger by saying and doing things that hurt the feelings of others, exhibiting ruthless verbal and emotional cruelty. You know, some marriages end because one of the partners is bitter. And they may not even be bitter towards the partner. They brought the baggage with them into the relationship. Hello, someone. You know, there's a baggage called bitterness. And if you take it on Air Canada, you have to pay $30. Right? It's not a, what do you call it? A stowaway, over the bin, you know, in the bin. It's something you have to pay for. People bring baggage into relationships sometimes. That might come as a shocker to some people, but I think most people realize that those things happen. Hello? And the thing about bitterness, do you want to know something about bitterness?
Nobody says anything.
Bitterness cannot be hidden for long. Eventually, it raises its ugly head. I say ugly, ugly, ugly head. You can't suppress it forever. And you know what? Do you want to know what's wonderful about serving the Lord? How many would like to know what's wonderful about serving the Lord? Do you really want to know? God wants that to come to the surface. He's putting the pressure on so that bitter root will be exposed. Hallelujah! You know, have you ever prayed, Lord, do a work in my life? How many of you have ever prayed that prayer? Lord, do a work in my life. Can I see your hand? And then God starts working, and we say, oh, Lord, please. That's enough. When God starts doing a work, he starts squeezing us. And the reason he's squeezing us is to bring those things that are deep within us to the surface so we can deal with them. We don't even know they're there. And bitterness has to be brought to the surface for it to be dealt with. It will affect every relationship that we have, every friendship, it will affect it. The Bible says in Luke chapter 6, verse 45, if you dare to look at it, the good person, out of the good treasure of his heart, produces good. That's nice. And the evil person, out of his evil treasure, produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. If you listen to someone or yourself long enough, you begin to discover the roots that are within you. Isn't that true? Because from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. We try to suppress it, but eventually it's going to come out. Right? So if we're bitter, it's eventually going to come out in our conversations, in our relationship with others. It will eventually be exposed. So it's time just to deal with it and begin to do something about that crack that's developing in our foundation. You know, if you don't do anything, the crack will grow. Hello? And then, you know, I always wonder this. People's lives fall apart and they come and they say, could you fix this for me? Some things are hard to fix when they've been going on for 20 years. Hello? And bitterness is one of them. We have to take our bitterness and bring it to the cross in the name of Jesus. Can somebody shout amen this morning? We've got to bring our bitterness to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ and let his blood deliver us and set us gloriously free. Hallelujah. Now we can put a Band-Aid on it. But once you rip the Band-Aid off, it's still there. You're going to have to go deeper and let the great physician, Jesus Christ, go deep within you and pull that root out in Jesus' name. The crack of bitterness. Are you ready for number two? The crack of intentional compromise. This is a tough one. James chapter 4, verse 17. If you want to read it in another version, look it up. I didn't write it. It's just the Bible. I mean, no, I'm just reading the Bible. So whoever knows, you know, there's a great responsibility in knowing. Someone says, I don't want to know. Too late. You already know. Knowledge requires great responsibility. And I want to say to every young person here, if you've grown up in a Christian home, you have a great responsibility because you have attained great knowledge from God. Not only from your parents, but from the church, the pastor who was preaching, your friends who poured into you, the Sunday school teachers. Oh, do I have to read it? Yes, I do. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him, can I add her? Do women sin? To him who knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, to him it is a sin. So if I know the right thing to do, I've heard it preached, I know all about it, my parents have told me, don't do that, this is what the Bible says about it, and I go ahead and do it, I'm committing a sin. Not just because I'm going against the Word of God, but I'm going against my knowledge of the Word. We know it's wrong. Someone has told us it's wrong. The Bible says it's wrong, but we still do it anyway. That's a sin. The Bible says we sin against our own conscience, because even our conscience is telling us, because the Holy Spirit is working through our conscience to tell us it's wrong, but we still go against it and do it anyway. Quiet in here, but that's okay. And did you realize that that's a serious thing? We're not playing games here this morning. We didn't come to church to play games, just to feel good about ourselves. We've come to meet with God. Can somebody say amen? We've come to let the Word of God expose anything in us that's not of Him and remove it by the power of the Holy Spirit. Can somebody shout hallelujah this morning? That's what we want. You know, we have a lot of social clubs that are called churches. People go to church, they meet and greet, they feel good about it. They hear a little sermonette that makes them feel better about themselves. A little motivational speech here and a little motivational speech there, and they go home feeling good about themselves. How many know that's not real church? Church is where you come and meet with God and let the conviction of the Holy, oh, glory to God, let the conviction of the Holy Spirit rest upon us. We want to become more like Jesus, don't we? Isn't that what it's all about? And I want to say this morning, someone said, oh, this is not possible. But did you know that when we know something is wrong and we still do it, we grieve the Holy Spirit? Did you know the Holy Spirit can be grieved? Ephesians chapter 5 teaches all about that. You know, sometimes we feel bad and it's not because of the weather. It's not because our sports team lost. It's none of those things. It's not because of something we ate or whatever. It's because we have grieved the Holy Spirit. And that bad feeling is not going to go away until we repent of it. Until we say, God, forgive me. God, cleanse me. God, purify me. God, wash me clean. Come on, somebody. I need God to do that revival work in my life. Intentional compromise. I think there's a lot of intentional sin going on in the church. People know it's wrong. The Bible says it's wrong. Their spirit is convicted. They know it's wrong, but they just keep on doing it. And friends, the only way out of this is repentance. A turning away from sin and letting God do that new work in us. And it can be a big sin, if there is such a thing, and it can be a small thing. Hello? You know, God's not concerned about numbers. He's concerned about the quality of the fruit. Can you imagine? How many have picked cherries? Just send anything to China. Just send anything. I don't care if it's split, bruised, got bugs. Just send it. Charge the full price for those apples. Charge the full price. There's bugs burrowing into about 50% of the apples. Send them anyway. You know what those places that receive them are going to do? We're not paying for that. We're not paying for that. Do you know that God wants our lives to be quality fruit in the name of Jesus, fully given over to Him, laid on the altar of sacrifice? Can you shout amen, somebody? That's what God's after. He don't care what talents you have in itself if those talents are not given to Him. Doesn't care about it. I think too many people are singing from Bing Crosby's songbook. I did it my way. Thanks, Sinatra. Thank you. Look what it says in 1 Timothy chapter 4. See, I'm open to correction, brother. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons. Look at the last part of this verse. Through the insincerity of liars whose consciences are seared. What does that mean? It means that your conscience has become insensitive to the conviction of the Holy Spirit. You can come into a service like today and hear this message and go out the same way you came in. It just doesn't bother you anymore. You can hear anything. Even if Jesus were standing here and preaching the message of the gospel and conviction was falling all over the place, it wouldn't bother you at all. You would just keep on doing what you're doing because your conscience has become seared. It's insensitive to the working of the Holy Spirit. And friends, this crack, not caught at the beginning, I guarantee you will destroy your spiritual life. And we see it, even celebrities giving up on God. We can't allow that to happen. If we see that crack beginning to develop, we have to work on it. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 4. Or I'm sorry, the last crack I want to look at, number 3, is the crack of prayerlessness. Prayerlessness. Romans chapter 12, verse 12. I want to read it from the Amplified Version. Constantly rejoicing in hope, because of our confidence in Christ, steadfast and patient in distress, and devoted to prayer, continually seeking wisdom, guidance, and strength from God. Devoted. If someone says they're devoted to their wife, what does it mean? If someone says they're devoted to the church, what does it mean? Hey, listen, could you come and just trim around the church here while I'm gone? No, I don't got time for that. Could you do this and that for the church? No, I'm out boating. I've got things to do. I'm a busy person. Could you come and, no, I'm too busy for that. I'm just too busy. Devoted is an attitude of the heart, right? That whatever God asks, you're willing to do, if it's possible. And God never asks us to do something that's impossible, right? Devoted. The Bible says prayer is the foundation of our spiritual lives. It's so easy to let other things crowd out our time with the Lord. How many know God wants us to spend time with Him? Can somebody say amen? God wants us to spend time with Him. I'm not saying how much time. That's between you and the Lord. I'm not going to be legalistic about it and say you got to spend so much time. I'm just saying you've got to spend time with the Lord. And I would have to say it should be daily, if possible, daily, time with God. And when I say time with God, I include time in His Word. And this I must tell you. The thing that impacted my life about my dad, and he wasn't perfect, but I seen him praying. I heard him praying. Every day I heard him praying. If our kids don't know that we pray, something's wrong somewhere. They've got to see that we are men and women of prayer. Hello? And you know what? I would rather live in a mud hut. I say this honestly. And Gina would make sure it's fixed up nice. I mean, that mud hut would be clean. This I must tell you. Window coverings and all the furniture placed in the right part of the living room and so on and so forth. But I would rather do that and have time to pray than to be in the biggest house that you can imagine and have to work 3 jobs to keep it. And that's what people in Toronto are doing. They're working around the clock. And when their kids whine, they just give them gifts. Here, take this. Nintendo, a new phone. Just give them stuff. But those kids want more than stuff. Deep inside, they want a relationship with their parents. Can somebody give a shout out this morning? We can let so many things crowd out our relationship and prayer time. And I want to say something, you might not like it. I don't really care. If you're retired here today, you ought to be a prayer warrior. If you've got the time and you're not working, you ought to be a prayer warrior, and you ought to be in the Word hour after hour after hour. God is giving you the time, hallelujah, because what we need in the church today is men and women of prayer. Glory be to God. Can somebody shout it out this morning? We need men and women who intercede. You don't like me, that's okay. Sometimes my dog doesn't like me. We need those precious moments. I remember yesterday, the dog came up to me and I gave a little clap and she looked like she saw a ghost and ran away. Those precious moments. Reading his word. You know what the Bible says in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. You know, I've always wondered, and I asked the pastor's council this at our last meeting as we were looking at this verse. How did God get outside? How did Jesus get outside? I mean, he's knocking to come in. How did he get outside in the first place? Somehow, I think that our attitudes and our prayerlessness drove him outside. Someone says that if the rapture ever happens, and it will happen, folks, some churches will just continue on like nothing happened because they've been able to do everything without the Holy Spirit. And I want to tell you this morning, if we're going to achieve anything in this church, if this church is going to move forward, it's not going to be because of me and you alone. It's going to be because of the moving of the Holy Spirit. The brooding of the Spirit of God. How did he get outside? Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice, all through the book of Revelation, each one of the churches that were given a message ended with, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit of God says to the church. Someone said, well, that's not my gift, praying. What? You don't need a gift to pray. Anybody can pray. Hello? Anybody can pray. If you're born again of the Spirit of God, you can pray. Hallelujah. You know, I want to say I'd be willing to give up everything to enhance my time with God. He who hears my voice and opens the door. You've got to open the door. You know, Jesus is not going to force his way in like those movies. You know, I always wondered about those movies, how they're able to kick open a door so easily. I tried it once, and I ended up in the hospital. You know what? Jesus is not going to kick open the door. You've got to open up the door. I said, you've got to open up the door and let Jesus in. Hallelujah. And what does he want to do when he comes in? Make you rich? give you a new car, get you into a better house. No, that's not what it says here. I will come in and eat with him and he with me. It's talking about fellowship. It's talking about you getting to know God more. Hallelujah. Isn't that what it's all about, folks? It's getting to know God more. And when you come, you don't roll out your list of all the things that you need, like Santa Claus. You just spend time in his presence and letting the Holy Spirit work in your heart. And let God reveal his character to you. Let him reveal to you who he is, how powerful he is, how mighty he is, how loving he is. Oh, my. I think there's some cracks developing. I can see them developing. And you know, you can go to bed every night, I'm closing. Someone said, thank you. You can go to bed every night and you can say to yourself, I'm just going to forget about it. I'm just going to just leave it. I'll deal with it tomorrow. But while you're sleeping, that crack is developing more and more and more. Just because you forget about it doesn't mean it's not there. I remember one time, can I just tell you one more story? I remember one time, I think I've told it before, and my mom and my brother probably know about it. In our house on Purdy Avenue, something happened and the water began to pour into the basement. I remember I was a teenager. I walked down and I was up to my ankles in water. But I was too afraid to call. So I went upstairs and watched TV and hoped it would all go away and dry up. But I went back again and it was up to here. And when my parents came home from work, there was the basement flooded. And my dad said, why didn't you call? Oh, I don't know. I was just upstairs watching TV, and I was just hoping it would all just go away. And I remember the fire trucks coming, and they had to literally suck all the water out of that basement. But as I was upstairs watching TV, thinking, God, you'll take care of it, it was growing. And that's the same with the cracks that develop in our life. We think we can just forget about it, but they just keep growing. And I want to encourage you this morning. I know this is a straight message, but it's because I love your soul. Don't let those cracks keep on developing. Stand up and say, you know what? I've had enough of that. I'm going to deal with them right now, right here, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm going to give them to Jesus. I'm going to let God work in my life. And he will. He will. Will you bow your heads this morning?